introduce all of the concepts and the foundations and ideas on which we would launch a new church was given by Mike. And that was at great length. I will just merely update this morning quite briefly. There was an entire vision laid out, and of course it's not merely a physical vision, but part of it was. And then there is a spiritual and corporate vision, corporate by I mean the body here at the church, which is part of the body of Christ. Physically, we embarked on a program to move forward from the way the church had been and paint it, put some new facility to it, take care of some things that were most urgent in the physical property here, and we've done that. Essentially, as you know, there was at one point in time years ago an essential discontinuance of the previous church that was here, and slowly a core group of people came to be the nucleus of a church, and Pastor Larry Snyder was brought here. And the initial time was the growing of that nucleus of a new church and new people and transitioning. And we have been doing that for some time and felt that it was now an appropriate time to move forward and actually formally launch a new church, which we have done. It is incorporated, and as you know, it has for some weeks now been Cross Creek Bible Church. So the first aspect of this was the physical plan that we had, much of which has been completed. There's been a great deal of landscaping, a great deal of outside work done. Of course, painters have come, and there's been updating, for example, the entire ladies' bathroom and things of that nature, which had been by the what you would call the previous church, basically at a standstill for a very long time. And once this nucleus and transition period was done and it was solidified, we certainly felt as an entire group that we were now in a position to move forward on our own and do these things. Spiritually, we have a vision that is essentially on your bulletin, outward and upward with the joy of God. We want to preach the word of God here. We want to spread the gospel. We want people to hear it. And we want to move forward and upward in joy with the Lord. We pray the Holy Spirit will bless what we're doing here. And we are realizing that vision. Part of the vision was to update some of the functions and some of the logistical, or what you might call skeletal structural things that we do. So we have made some changes in the way we do the service. This service today, for example, is much different than one that would have happened 4 or 5 months ago. We have made some changes in the music, and we feel led to do praiseworthy, upbeat and meaningful songs, whether they're praise songs or traditional hymns, that are very accessible to people without, as you are aware, having nothing but a loud rock band here, that has been something that has been well received. So we've done a lot of things along those lines, and Larry is utilizing his message time for sermons and thoughts that are quite relevant, not just to what was happening in the Bible at the time, but how we live today. And the church is moving forward. Our vision is to continue on this path and to make an impact here amongst our own lives and in the community. And slowly but surely, we are doing that. Over the summer, we have acquired new members. There are some who are new, potential new members who cannot make it this Sunday, but hopefully we will see them again next week or the weeks after. And we're very pleased at the initial growth that we've already had. We ask your continued prayers, and we ask your continued participation in what is happening here. It's not a matter of the elders or a pastor. It is a matter of all of us. We do pray that Mike, who we had hoped would be here today, gets well quickly from his injury, because I think it's a curveball of Satan that he got injured and couldn't make it this Sunday. He has put in an enormous amount of work on many of these things, and many people right here in this room now have put in an enormous amount of work. I could start naming names, but why don't I just name all of you, really, who have landscaped, who have helped with the interior of this building, and who have moved forward in many, many, many ways, musically as well. And we give thanks for that. So this is a very condensed version of something that Mike gave at great length many months ago, but it is an update, and by the grace of God, we're on that track, and we've made great accomplishment, and we ask his blessing on helping us make more. Thank you. Will the special music team come up, please?
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how lovely are your dwelling places. And our soul longs and yearns for your courts. Our heart and our flesh sing for joy to you. Father, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Father, you are a sun and a shield. You give grace and glory, and you don't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Lord, we commit this service to you, and we commit ourselves to you. In your house and in your courts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will the worship team come up, please?
And we have the privilege this morning of receiving, recognizing, and receiving, and then commissioning the charter members of Cross Creek Bible Church. And this is a great privilege for us. We have a membership covenant. We talked about church membership a number of months ago, and we have, there was an application process, and we are very pleased that we have a number of charter members. So we're very pleased with this. Now, by the way, let me say, even if I don't call your name, but you'd like to be a member, or your membership is kind of in the pipeline, so to speak, even though you won't come up with us this morning, you can still be a member. It's almost like that commercial, but wait, there's more. You know, this isn't it. So these are the charter members this morning, and when I call your name, would you please come forward and stand facing the congregation? Television has faced the nation. We have faced the congregation. All right. So please come for Jed Andrews, and also Olita, who is in Indiana. We, you know, tried to Skype her in, but or a hologram or something, but we don't have that technology yet. We just don't quite have that yet. Shirley Bartlett. And if you can't come up, or if it's going to be a little hard for you to come up, Shirley, then that's all right. We understand that. Joe Bonsack and Sheila Bonsack. Lois Bradshaw. Michelle Bridges, who is not here this morning. She is cruising the Caribbean. Priorities, priorities. You know, come on here. Okay. Clay Carey and Kirstie Carey. Glenn and Gretchen Donaldson. See you back there. Marty and Rachel Frankie. Rosemary Henderson. Lester Larson. There's Lester. Mike and Linnell McGill. So Linnell will come up, but I think there she is. There's Linnell. Chuck and Robin Shawin. Joel and Erica Simonson. Joel will be representing Erica this morning. Karen Snyder. Yes, I'm a member too. I had to go through the whole thing. All of us, I did, and the elders, we all had to go through this too. So this isn't, you know, Robin and Shannon West. So, and then Mark and Kathy Wilson. So Kathy's upstairs, and Shannon is representing Robin as well this morning. What I want to do is I want to pray for all of us, a prayer of dedication for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your church. Your word says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built up together into a dwelling of God the Spirit. Lord, you've rescued us from our sin and from your wrath, and you've brought us together into one body, the church, and this particular representation, this local physical representation of your church. Father, we dedicate Cross Creek Bible Church to you. Would you be pleased in your grace and in your mercy to use all of us and use this church to build and advance your kingdom, to do your will, to help accomplish your purposes, and to glorify you. And Lord, as charter members of Cross Creek Bible Church, we dedicate ourselves to you, first of all. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and submitted our will and our life to him. We dedicate ourselves to be active members of this church. We dedicate ourselves to glorify you by making your goodness, your greatness, your grace, and your glory visible to each other and visible to the world. We dedicate ourselves to delighting in your word, to believe it, to confess it, and to teach it with love and without apology. We dedicate ourselves to fervently pray for each other and our world. We dedicate ourselves to work together to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We dedicate ourselves to care for one another, to bear each other's burdens, to love each other, and to treat each other as family, which is what we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. We dedicate ourselves to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim it to a world that needs it desperately. We dedicate ourselves to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together for the purpose of worshiping you and strengthening and encouraging each other. We dedicate ourselves to cheerfully contribute to the financial support of this church, to the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel to all the nations. We dedicate ourselves to living carefully in this world, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, living sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. We dedicate ourselves to further the kingdom, your kingdom, Father, through the ministries of this church and the gifts and opportunities that you give us. We dedicate ourselves to be maturing disciples of Jesus Christ and to help other people do the same. Father, we commit ourselves to you knowing full well that we can't do any of this without the empowering and the enablement of your Holy Spirit. May you pour out your Spirit upon us so that we can accomplish these things for your glory and for our good. And it is in the name of the head of the church, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. And thank you very much for being up here. Charter members with a couple more who are here as well, or who are not here as well. the charter members of Cross Creek Bible Church. And we pray, we seek the Lord and desire this, that there would be a whole lot more people just like this who would be willing to dedicate themselves not just to this church, but ultimately to the Lord. So thank you. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we come before you this morning thankful. Thankful for what you've done here at Emmanuel or here at Cross Creek Bible Church. Lord, forgive me for that. I continue to do that and I know a number of us do it too. But Father, we're thankful for what you've done. And I pray I get it right this time. At Cross Creek Bible Church. We're thankful for that, for all the work that has gone on in these last number of months, these last 3 months or so. We're thankful for the leadership that you have given to us. Thankful for the honesty and the love and the support and the suggestions that we got from a number of people in the church about a number of months ago as well. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're grateful for those you've given us. And Lord, we're also grateful for those that you will give us in the future. Lord, may we keep our focus. May we preach your word. May we love you with everything we've got and love our neighbors. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to the task that you've given us as a church. May we just glorify you and do what we're doing in order to glorify you. You've given us the great privilege of being involved in helping to build and advance your kingdom. And you didn't have to do that. You could do it all by yourself. But Lord, you use us as your people in your grace and in your mercy. And we're thankful for that. And Heavenly Father, we do praise you for what you've been doing here and what you will do. And Lord, we pray that there would be many more things that you'll be doing in the days and weeks and months and years to come. And again, we commit Cross Creek Bible Church to you. We commit ourselves to you. Lord, we praise you. Father, we pray again this morning for Mike McGill. We pray that you would heal him, that you would bring him back to good and full health. We pray for Rosemary, for Lois, and for Shirley, that you would bring them back to good health also. Father, we also would pray for our brother Eddie Lumivez. We ask that you would give him strength. Give him comfort. Give him your peace. And Father, guide him. Guide him to a good church in Woodburn where he can serve you, where he can be around other believers who can hold him up and lift him up during these times when he needs it. And then, Lord, may he be able to do that with other people, too. Use what is going on in his life right now. Use it to build him to be more like Christ, but also, Father, so that he would be able to help and serve other people who are going through the very same things that he is now. Lord, we are again thankful. We're thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you love us enough to send us a Savior. We're thankful that Jesus Christ is that Savior. And that you've provided us a way that we can be right with you, which is through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone listening, if there's anyone here this morning who has not repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that they would do it today. I pray that you would speak to them by your word, through one of us, through the songs. May they see their need of a Savior. May they turn from their sin, which separates them from you, and may they put their full trust in Jesus Christ, because He is the only one who can save them, and He is the only way to salvation. Lord, for those of us who you have saved by your grace, may we listen to your word, may we hear it, drink it in, soak it in, and respond with obedience, with thankfulness, based on our gratitude for what you have done for us that we don't deserve, that we can't ever earn. Lord, we are thankful for all of these things. We commit ourselves to you. We commit this worship service to you, and the potluck afterwards, and this church, Cross Creek Bible Church. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Do with us what is pleasing to you. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I knew I was going to do that at some point, to give the wrong name of the church, because I'm so used to that, and I will occasionally, even now, answer the phone that way. So if you catch me, just please extend a little bit of grace with that. I haven't done that for quite some time, actually, so I'm a little bit surprised that this morning it happened. Today, of all days, I'm a little bit surprised at that, but that happens. There was a famous English sculptor by the name of Henry Moore, and he was asked a great question. I think it's a great one anyway. He said, now that you're 80 years old, the question was, you must know the secret of life. What is it? What's the secret of life? And here was his answer. He says, the secret of life is to have a task. It is something that you do your entire life, something you bring everything to, every minute of every day of your life. And the most important thing is this: it must be something you can't possibly do. Now, I think Henry Moore hit the nail right on the head. The secret of life is pursuing a task that we cannot pull off by ourselves. God has given the church as a whole, and Cross Creek Bible Church in particular, He's given us a task. He's given us something to do. But it's something that we can't do on our own. I'd like for us to look briefly at a passage of God's Word this morning that speaks directly to this issue. The idea that God has given us a job, He's given us a task, and He's also given us help to complete it. If you have a Bible with you this morning, would you please turn to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. If you don't have a Bible, you can use the one that is in the chair in front of you. And here's what the passage says. The inspired Word of God, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. He says this, Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in the immediate context here, Paul is talking about God's goal for his life as a Christian. But what he has to say applies to churches also, not just individual Christians. It's a good passage for us to consider as we dedicate this morning Cross Creek Bible Church to the Lord. It's good for us to look at it because God has something to say to us as a church from this passage as well. First of all, we need to recognize that God has a goal for us. God has a goal for us. In verse 14, he says that he presses on toward the goal. Those two words there are very important. That means that there is a goal. There's a goal line. It's not God's will that we as his people, that we as his church, should be aimless and wander and have no purpose. Why do you have a church? Well, we just have one to have one. Not good enough. Not good enough at all. The word goal here is where we get the word scope. It means a mark on which to fix the eye. A scope is something you look through and it focuses your attention. It focuses your eye. And then to use another metaphor, it's the finish line of a race. That's the goal, the finish line. We need something to focus on because if we don't have it, we'll wander and we'll float and we'll have no idea what it is that we're supposed to do. None at all. Now the good news is this. God, in his grace, has given us, he's told us what that goal is. And he hasn't left us to our own devices. Because if he would have done that, we would have come up, or have come up, with thousands upon thousands of different goals for the church. The goal for Paul as he wrote this letter and for every individual believer in Jesus Christ is to be like him. That's what Paul's saying here. To be like Christ. That's a summary of verses 1 through 16. That's what he's saying. It is to be Christ-like. But what is the goal for the church? I don't think it's all that different than what it is for every Christian. The goal of the church is to glorify God, to make God visible and put him on display. That's what that means. We glorify God when we make him visible to each other and to the world. And when do we do that? We do that when we're like him. That's when we make him visible as an individual Christian and also as a church. Now, Paul puts it this way in another of his letters, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, this has some big implications for us as a church. The goal, the aim, the purpose of everything we do as a church is to glorify God. Everything. The nursery is meant to glorify God. That's its purpose. Children's church should glorify God. Sunday school has as its goal the glory of God. Our worship service, with our prayers, with our giving, with the music that we sing and the music that we play, the preaching of the Word of God, all of it has the goal of glorifying God, making Him visible, putting Him on display. The goal of our life groups and our Bible studies should be the same, to glorify God. The men's ministry and the women's ministry exist to glorify God. Now, churches can get involved in a lot of things that look good and they sound good, but they don't get us any closer to that goal. They actually can be a distraction. Now, I don't want to see that happen here at Cross Creek Bible Church. I don't want to see us get distracted and lose our way and go into something that even that might be good. It might be a good thing to do, but it isn't getting us any closer to our goal, which is to glorify God. And then you can also add to that, here's the rest of this, glorify God by making disciples of all the nations. I don't want to see us lose focus on this. We need to evaluate everything we do, everything, formally and informally, in light of that goal. Does it glorify God? If it does, then we want to keep it and we want to make it better. But what if it doesn't? Well, then we have to get rid of it, as hard as it might be, or somehow transform it to make sure that it matches the goal. Then the second thing that God is saying to us from this passage is that we haven't arrived yet. We haven't arrived yet. God has a goal for us, but we're not there yet. The goal is in the future. It's ahead of us. In the first part of verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained it or become or have already become perfect." Then he says in the first part of verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." What's he saying? He's saying that he knows that he hasn't got it all figured out yet. And he knows he has a lot of room to grow and a lot of room to mature. And that's true for a church too. We have a goal to make God visible, to put Him on display, to glorify Him. But we don't do that perfectly. And I don't think that should come as any gigantic surprise to anybody. We don't do that perfectly. The church as a whole doesn't do that perfectly yet. We know that. We're not a finished product yet. We don't have it all down and figured out. We're still working on a lot of things. We know that's true, and all we have to do is hang around a church for any length of time to figure that out. We know that. Now let me let you in on something that every pastor deals with, I think, that directly relates to this. It is easy for pastors, and me as a pastor, I'm including myself in this, to get discouraged by what looks to me like a lack of progress or a lack of growth. It's not hard. It isn't hard, because looking at it from our perspective, we think, well, this hasn't happened, and that hasn't happened, and this hasn't happened how we've liked it, how we would have liked it to. Therefore, we get discouraged. It's easy for us to do that. But, however, we have to realize, though, growth takes time. Sometimes growth takes a lot of time. It takes time. So we have to be patient. And we have to trust God. And we have to continue to work. Now, we also should stay away from the other extreme. I think this is less common, but it's still there. And that's when we think we've arrived. And that we're doing everything exactly the way the Lord wants it done. And subsequently, there's no room for growth and there's no room for change. Individual Christians can get to that point, and I've heard them before say that. I think I pretty much know just about everything about what God wants me to know. That's dangerous. And sorry to put it this way, but we did pray earlier that we would preach the word in love and without apology. And I'll try to do that at this moment here. If you think that, or if you're tempted to think that, let me say this in love. You're a fool. You don't know everything. And there's a lot more that God wants to teach you. And if a church thinks that, it's trouble. We've got this down. We know we're doing exactly what God wants us to do in every area. No, we're not. Not yet. The point is this. We need to continually grow and mature as a church. I pray that we don't get discouraged by what seems like a lack of growth or a lack of progress or slow growth. And I pray also that we never think we've arrived either, because we haven't. The next thing God is saying to us from this passage is this. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. Here's how Paul puts it in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. That's what he says. Now, if we want to work toward the goal that God has given us, we need to forget what lies behind. And another way to put that is this, is don't always be looking in the rearview mirror. If you're driving and you're always looking in the rearview mirror, there's going to be trouble. You're going to crash. You're not going to last very long. Now, what Paul does not mean by this is that we don't remember anything from the past and that we don't learn from the past, either our past individually or the past of our church. He's not saying don't remember anything, just wipe it from your memory banks. He's not saying that. What it does mean is that we cannot be preoccupied by the past. And we can't live there. We can't hold on to bad experiences that weigh us down. We can't. We cannot do it. And it means that we can't rest also on past accomplishments or sins or failures, on the other hand. Churches sometimes have that problem where they focus a lot on what they call or what they think about as the glory days. We can't do that. We have to move forward. And a way that a church can do that, by the way, is falling into, a church can fall into that trap by saying things like, we've never done it that way before, or we tried that once and it didn't work. You probably heard those things before. Another way we fall into that trap is when we look around at what all of the other churches are doing and then we compare ourselves to them. We can't do that. We can't do that as much as we would like to. Cross Creek Bible Church cannot do that. And we should not do that. We have to run the race that God has set before us, not the race that He set before somebody else. We can't live in the past and expect to move forward. We can look at the past, but we can't live in it if we want to work toward the goal that God has given us. Now, following right after "don't live in the past" is the flip side of the coin. It's the other side of the coin. Reach forward. Reach forward. That's the next thing that God is saying to us here in Philippians 3. Paul said he was reaching forward to what lies ahead at the end of verse 13. And the phrase he uses is that of someone who is running a race, a foot race. It's the picture of a runner who is getting close to the finish line. Their hand is stretched out toward the line, and their eyes are fastened on it. And the runner is leaning, and they're straining toward the goal. And if you can see the picture in your mind, you can see the athlete who is straining and flexing just about every muscle in their body to get to that line. It's an active idea. It's not a passive idea. Reaching forward. He tells us to press on twice. Once in verse 12 and again in verse 14. That's an active idea. Just like reaching forward. When we press on, we pursue something, we run after it, we seek after it. And one author says that it is aggressive, energetic action. That's what it means to reach forward, to press on. Now, as a church, we have to reach forward for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can't look back, but we must reach forward. As the Bible says here, it'll take work. Lots of work. Hard work. Straining work. Striving work. And no, work shouldn't be a four-letter word in the negative sense of a four-letter word. It shouldn't be. We'll have to be active and not passive. Yes, God is sovereign and He is in control. But that doesn't do away with the need for us to be active and to work and to strain. And here at Cross Creek, we want to reach forward. We want to press on to the goal that God has given us to glorify Him. These things are going to take work. Expository Bible teaching, book by book, is going to take work. Music that inspires congregational singing of both familiar hymns and contemporary praise songs takes work. Being a loving church family where we can belong, know people, find friends, make friends, that takes work. A place where you can make a difference as you serve and use your gifts takes work. Finding creative ways to evangelize takes work. Living out our membership covenant will take work, lots of it. Bringing new believers to maturity in Christ takes work. It doesn't happen. None of these things simply happen by themselves. Now, my question for you this morning is this, and for myself. Are you ready to go to work and to reach forward? We can't do it by ourselves. We need God's grace, and we need God's strength, and we have to depend on Him for it. But the task can be done. And finally, the Lord is saying to us today, keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One more time, you cannot drive a car looking only in the rearview mirror. You have to keep your eyes on the road and forward and fixed on the goal. Every one of us as Christians should want to hear this when we stand before the Lord at the end of time. Well done, good and faithful servant. We should want to hear that. But there's something else that we should want to hear too. When we stand before the Lord at the end of time, we should want to hear this too. Well done, good and faithful church. Well done. That's what I want to hear when it comes to this church, Cross Creek Bible Church. Well done, good and faithful church. I want to hear that we've done well and that we've been faithful to God. Does that mean that we've been successful? Maybe not in the way the world thinks of it, but we've been faithful. Does it mean that we accomplished all of our goals? And does it mean that somewhere down the road we'll have 7 worship services and the whole day? Maybe, maybe not. More than anything, this should be what we want to hear at the end. Well done, good and faithful church. That's my heart. That's where my heart is. That's what I want to hear with Cross Creek Bible Church. So how do we get there? We do that. We do it by listening to what God has said to us this morning and then doing it. He has a goal for us. We haven't arrived yet. Don't live in the past. Reach forward. Keep your eye on the goal. And let's do that together for God's glory and for our good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that's a big, big task. Lord, we know we can't do it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. We don't have the ability. We don't have the skills, the talent. We don't have it ourselves. Lord, we're not a very big church. Not very big at all. But Lord, you want us to be faithful. And you want us to do these things. And none of these things make a difference with size. Size doesn't make a difference with any of these things if we're empowered by your Holy Spirit. You've got a goal for us, Lord. We know we haven't got there yet. We can't live in the past. We need to reach forward and strive and work and keep our eye on the goal. And Lord, it should be so clear to us that we can do that with 50 people or with 50,000. It doesn't matter the size. Lord, though, we pray that you would bring us people, because there are people who need to know Christ. There are people who are alienated and separated from you, and they need to know you. They need to have their sins forgiven and be reconciled to you. And Father, there are Christians who, it seems, to use the phrase, are dying on the vine because they don't have fellowship and because they're just not growing. They need to come too, and we pray you'd bring them to us as well, and bring us to them, because they need not to be saved, but to be sanctified, to grow, so that they can glorify you and be more like Christ and fulfill the purposes that you have for them. Father, it's an impossible task without the power of your Holy Spirit. pour your Spirit out on us so that we can do this. You've put it in our hearts, Father. You've changed our hearts by your grace. Give us the strength to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.